This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. On February 16th, Apple published a message on its website outlining to its customers that they would not be complying with a request from the US government. The request in question was for Apple to unlock the iPhone encryption of Syed Rizwan Farooq, one of two perpetrators of a mass shooting in San Bernardino last year. Feng Cheng Leong, a lawyer and data privacy expert, joins me now to explain what's at stake in the current debate between Apple and the US government. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Firstly, what is this debate about exactly?
Just a historical background on this case is basically there were two shooters in US and they were randomly shooting people and subsequently they died in a shootout with the police. So while the police were searching the car, they found the iPhone in the car. Hidden or dropped within the car, and the police wanted to have a look what is inside the iPhone. So they went to Apple and asked for details of what is within their storage, and they did release some information about these persons. But then the authority there asked iPhone to unlock a certain to disable a certain function in the phone to enable them to look into the phone. One thing about the phone that is in question, which they call the subject device, is that if, let's say, you try to enter the password, the pass key to it, and you enter it wrongly for 10 times, and the data inside will be wiped out. So that function, the authority there wants it to be removed. So, and they use the law called the All Writs Act. It is apparently a very old act to compel Apple to create such backdoor, they call it, which Tim Cook calls it a backdoor, to enable, to create that software to disable that function. But they are not asking Apple to, you know, just unlock the phone from us and then we will send us whatever data you can find inside. They're basically just asking Apple, please create this function where we don't have that self-destructing instruction in the in the iPhone, and we will just, once you remove that function, we will just brute force our way. We key in all the possible combination to enter into the phone. So then now the debate is whether should Apple create that, they call it a backdoor, or should they come and say, okay, we will help with the investigation. These two guys are, this husband and wife team are terrorists, and we do not support terrorism. So this is the background of the case.
And it's kind of captured imaginations in a big way because of this notion of it being about privacy, particularly digital privacy, what we should or, you know, shouldn't be able to see, or what we should or shouldn't be able to access in one another's phones. Mm. Would you say that it's primarily about that notion of privacy, or is it about the brand? Is it about terrorism? You know, from a legal and an outsider's point of view, how do you see the whole thing?
One thing about the phone is it's actually it doesn't belong to one of the shooter. It actually belongs to the employer of the shooter, which is also a government agency. So to Apple, to them, privacy is most important. Of course, when you talk about privacy, and Apple being a corporation, business would be affected. My view is that the business would certainly be affected if, let's say, they ban over for security over privacy. Of course, on the government's point of view, it is important for everyone to combat terrorism. So if you need to do whatever you need to do to allow us to find, let's say, in the phone, a link to the certain cells within the US where the terrorists are hiding out, and then they should be helping. So it's a very difficult position or difficult place to take now on whether to assist the government or to respect privacy as it is.
Do we have any legal precedents on this kind of tension between privacy and security?
Yes, there's always been a tension between privacy and security. Even at home in Malaysia, we were also dealing with privacy and also security. So, and also government powers. Sorry, the authorities' investigation powers. So current scenario in Malaysia is the privacy is a losing end. It is the security and authorities' power here prevails here. So in the US, it is a balancing act. Some privacy sometimes prevails, security sometimes prevails. So it's hard, it could be a case-to-case basis.
Apple CEO Tim Cook has called this a chilling development. Do you agree with it? I mean, when you saw what was happening, did you think that this is a worrying sign?
One thing we need to understand is that there are two things we need to understand. One is the government always have, you know, the power to ask someone to assist in certain investigation. So if you're a witness in the case, then you must come forward to give your evidence. But here the case is slightly different. Is that the government asks the court over that case to ask Apple to create a backdoor. They, being the manufacturer, they must create something for the government to use to enable them to enter into the phone. So there's no specific law. One thing is there's no specific US law to say the government has the power to compel you to create a software of this kind. But what they do is they're using the All Writs Act to say that, okay, the Supreme Court over there has the power, or Supreme Court or any other courts, they have the power to compel someone to do something necessary or appropriate in aid of the respective jurisdiction to enforce something. So it is slightly different here.
So it's an old law. It's not specific to technology, but it can be applied in the same way.
Correct.
Right.
It arguably can be applied in the same way.
And this act, could you explain to us what it's about? I mean, why was it created in the first place?
There's a historical reason behind it, but which I'm not very clear. But what is basically, they have this law is to allow the courts, the Supreme Court or the courts established there, to compel certain person to do something. So it's based, but there are certain criteria you need to fulfill, and one of them is the absence of alternative remedies. So there are no other laws to, let's say, create an obligation for Apple to create the backdoor. Then they can try to use this All Writs Act to compel someone to do it. So in Malaysia, for example, we use to compare it. Is here we look at our act. See whether this section allows the police or the magistrate or sessions court to do something. But here is basically a catch-all scenario, which I understand Malaysia doesn't have the same act or the same similar act to compel any other person to do something like that.
I understand also that Apple has actually assisted with the investigation. They just haven't done this thing, built this backdoor for people, for the authorities to be able to access the phone in that unlimited way. Is there a limit, though, to how much data handover a company can give of its customers? Or, you know, everything that they have can also be handed over, provided the authorities ask for it?
I understand that in US, they are very restricted. Restrictive also on what they to give out. They will only give out what is relevant. Sometimes you need to file. We have done cases in the US where we actually file a court order for the social media companies to reveal certain information. So sometimes they oppose it. They fight against the discovery order, and sometimes they comply with it. So, but if you look at their privacy policies, they will release information if requested by authorities, but of course they do not describe how much they will give up.
Apple has clashed with the US government many times in the past. This isn't the first. Why is this case different?
This is different because it involves the creation of the so-called backdoor. So the previous times is basically, let's say, unlocking the phone, which can be done previously if you use an older iOS 8, if I'm not mistaken, is where they can actually unencrypt the phone easily from there. But the current, anything above iOS 8, the encryption key is also tied to your passcode, the passcode to enter the phone. So if you do not know the passcode, you will not know how you will not be able to unencrypt the phone unless you create the backdoor as required by this order here.
I'm speaking today with Fong Cheng Leong, lawyer and data privacy expert. We're talking about the current conflict, I guess, between Apple and the US government about building a backdoor into the iPhone in order to enable authorities to unlock the phone and kind of access everything that's within it. If you've got any questions about privacy and security, particularly in the age that we live in, do send us a text. The number to text is 016-201-9000. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me, Fong Cheng Leong, lawyer and data privacy expert. We're talking about the privacy and security debate between Apple and the US government. So other tech firms have fought against lawsuits demanding that they turn over customer data. Is that a similar debate here, or is it different because of the backdoor question?
Over here in Malaysia, the authorities always ask for details of users, which is very common. And most of the time, it is our people here, we comply with it. One thing is because our police here or the authorities here have very vast powers. But the question of creating a backdoor or even to snoop on the users, something that has not, I don't know any of it or been revealed. If there was, also it not revealed to the public. But so far, we have not gone to the stage where the police would compel the manufacturer or the software provider to come up with a backdoor.
Is it unfair to ask if situations like this should be judged on a case-by-case basis? Because looking at what Tim Cook had to say, a lot of it seemed to be, well, we can't do this, and it's not because we support terrorism, it's not because we support what was done, it's just because it would be hacking our own users and we can't do that. Could an argument be made that in this instance it would have been acceptable?
Well, Tim Cook's argument is fairly simple. If they create such backdoor, it will become precedent and it may be used over and over again. So, of course, the other counter-argument is that the order only asked them to create it, the backdoor, but is only for Apple's own use. They are not required to give it to the authorities or anyone else. But, of course, then if this is just, to me, is basically just step one. If you have created a backdoor, that means it exists. So for it to exist, then someone can always come and order and ask, You need this, for example, let's say a huge country of, I don't want to name the country, but let's say a billion people and a huge number of iPhone sales there. So they tell, then they know that this exists and they tell iPhone. I tell Apple, I say, if you don't, you know, provide this for use, for us to use, you cannot sell your iPhones here. So there's a $1 billion market which you cannot sell your iPhones there. So to the shareholders, that is because Apple is a publicly traded company, to them is a catastrophe, and easily the board of directors would get kicked out because of that decision.
So basically, you're creating a catch-22 for yourself in some ways.
You know, yes, in other words.
On a purely, you know, common sense basis, wouldn't you think it's fair, or perhaps maybe it's safer to say I kind of think it's fair, for a government agency like the FBI to demand that Apple cooperate in its investigation of a terrorist act?
Well, if you look at Tim Cook's statement, they did actually cooperate. They did provide what they have in their hands. I think it's their iCloud database. But for them to compel Apple to unlock their own phones, one thing is there an alternative remedy to it or not? So McAfee, the creator of the McAfee virus software, did come out and say that me and my team will come and, you know, unencrypt the phone or disable the auto deletion function for you. So no news after that. Why didn't US government get some other expert to do it for them? So then the question is, is it safe to use someone else, a third party, than the actual creator himself, the person who created the phone, or you should go to a third party? But bear in mind that once anything goes wrong, being a third party is going to be a trial and error. You may have to do a few times and something may go wrong and the data gets wiped out.
Entirely, so, forever.
Correct. So the best is, of course, go to Apple for Apple to unlock it. Safest way.
Is there a legal argument to be made about the moral obligation that an individual or a company, owes to investigations into matters of national security?
Well, there is always an obligation for us to assist in any matters regarding national security. But of course, the obligation has its limits. So in this case, it's whether the Apple has this obligation to create a backdoor in an iPhone or not. So that is it. In Malaysia, whether you can compel someone to do it is also untested here. So I think this is a good test case on how far can national obligation or security obligation go.
So from what I understand, the US government... Okay, let me see if I've got this straight. So the US government issued an order. Is that correct?
The court issued an order. The US District Court, Central District of California.
And from there, Apple have said no to the order.
The order has been issued and Apple has 5 days from the order to comply with it, or if they want it set aside, they can do it also. So now we are still at a very preliminary stage as to whether what needs to be done. So, but Apple has come out in the public and said that we are not going to comply. We would do our best to set it aside.
So the process of setting it aside is just presenting the counter argument and saying these are the reasons why we will not be complying.
I believe so. Whether the All Writs Act would be applicable, for example.
Okay. If this case goes against Apple, should it proceed, should things go further down the line, are consumers the biggest loser in this situation? If the backdoor were to exist?
Well, there are a lot of losers. I think one thing, of course, the consumer's privacy is a big concern. And in the old days, actually it's not the old days, it's just a couple of years ago, all our data are stored in our own PC at home. So, but today, it is more data, more personal data are stored in our phones than our PC as today. Even in the old days, your PC also won't have so much data as per what you have in the phone. So if you look at it, for example, the Adam Johnson's case, where the footballer, Sunderland footballer in the UK, he had his WhatsApp messages being read out in a public forum. So that is the extent of you, and basically they were very personal messages all bled out around the world. So as consumers of the phone, of any of these personal devices, if someone has the ability to crack into our phone, that is a big loss for us in terms of privacy. So basically, as Tim Cook says, this is a chilling effect. You will be thinking of what you want to write or what you want to store in your phone before you create all these things. So this is the biggest, for us consumers, is a big, big loss. Whereas, of course, to the manufacturers of phones, to them is Apple, for example, they will lose public confidence in the security of the phone. So then, of course, the other guys, for example, let's say the Korean brand phone maker will say, we have better security than Apple. So they will come out and say, yeah, we won't allow the government to force us to do something like that. So it becomes another marketing attack against Apple if this were to be, this order has to be complied with.
In other words, as you say, there's great potential for there to be a lot of different losers in the situation.
Correct. Of course, the biggest winner is the government themselves. And of course, to the victims of the San Bernardino attack, at least something for them to know that innocent death, something for them to find out why is this happening, what is the cause of this problem, of this tragedy.
While we're talking about Apple and privacy, I think... I've seen the word draconian used in reference to Apple's privacy policy or privacy laws. And so has Apple's privacy policy been consistent? I mean, is it something that, is consistent throughout?
The privacy policy is pretty much standard for all the platform providers in the US. They basically will provide any information that is being requested by the government. So whatever information that they have been stored within their servers and database. So even for Facebook, Google, so long something comes in, they will comply with it. But nowadays, the US entities, a lot of the foreign entities, what they provide is some form of a transparency report. So they tell you, okay, which country, or what kind of request was made for them for information. So but one thing about all these providers is that they have access to your data. Basically, they can see what you have. But I use a certain form of a cloud service provider is where they cannot see what I have. I'm storing in the database, but there's an encryption where it's a one-way encryption. Only I can see it. They cannot see it. So, but for Apple, Facebook, and all the rest of the people, they have this. They don't have such function where they can actually just see what you have, and for them, they can easily just extract it out and give it to the authorities.
As and when it's requested.
And requested.
In terms of civil liberties and cybersecurity, how much have we learned about what works and what doesn't when it comes to anti-terror legislation? Have we taken away anything? I mean, considering all these different cases, considering, considering all these different situations around the world, do we know anything about, like, okay, this is reasonable, this works, this doesn't?
Well, there's always a case to case. It seems to be a very different test case every day. So today one would be the Apple case, where it is quite different from the rest. In the past, well, I see more government passing legislation to allow them to look at what we have, to snoop on what we have, and whereas the civil liberties, whereas the civil society would try to put in measures to protect ourselves. So some of them have taken their own steps to create encryption of their own data. Basically, they spend their own money trying to protect themselves rather than the government trying to protect their data.
If this were something that were happening in Malaysia, how would it play out, do you think? Are there any precedents?
No precedent. Don't think any government agencies or court has compelled any of our software or hardware providers to create a backdoor. Would be interesting if they do it and on what grounds they can use. Because one thing, we don't have the All Reads Act, so we don't have such powers. The court doesn't have such power to compel someone to create a backdoor.
Do dead people have privacy rights? And this sounds like an odd question, but I guess the question here is, at what point do our privacy rights expire? You know, provided, say I pass away, and my Facebook and my Twitter and my Instagram and so on continue to live on the internet without me, can people pass that over?
It seems to be different contrasting views around the world. In Malaysia, let's look at the Personal Data Protection Act. The Data Protection Act actually only applies to a living person. In Hong Kong, also it applies to a living person. But whereas in the US, there was a case where a lady died in some form, I think she fell off the building, and then there were requests to look at her Facebook messages prior to her death. So there was an application made in US for the subpoena for the information. So Facebook actually rejected the application, and the court also allowed it, the rejection, to say that the privacy applies even though it's after the death of a certain person. So good or bad, because for example, if I have died and I passed away and I don't want people to look at what I have, then and I forgot to put in my will to say that, I don't want people to look at my stuff, then that should be default position. But if I put my will and I say, okay, anyone can have access to my data after my death, then it would be good. But I think recently Facebook had created a function where, for example, you pass on, you appoint an administrator to administer your Facebook page after your death. So one thing about Facebook is that after your death, your page will be memorialized. So it will be turned into a public page where people can post messages. So, but you cannot access it as a personal account anymore. You cannot look at their messages and all other things.
Is our privacy protected under Malaysian law? Because I think a lot of people, myself included, just take it as a given. I exist as a person, therefore my privacy is protected. But is it?
Yes, privacy. Our right to privacy is provided under the Constitution, so we have the right to privacy. But the question now is, the issue now is always, do we have a action for invasion of privacy? So if someone has, for example, put a CCTV right in front of your room or a toilet, then is there invasion of privacy? Is there invasion of privacy? So, but under the Penal Code, I think Section 509 says that if you outrage the modesty of a certain person or invaded someone's privacy, you can actually get charged in court and be fined for it. So, but then the question is whether the civil invasion of privacy is where you take a court action and file in court against that person from invading your privacy. So that one is uncertain at the moment, because some courts say yes, there's invasion of privacy. Our high court say Malaysia, yes, there's invasion of privacy. Some high court judgment, recent high court judgment say no, there's no invasion of privacy in Malaysia. So we are still stuck as to whether there's an invasion of privacy or not.
How much of an impact has the Personal Data Protection Act made since it came into force in 2013?
I think the corporation, for example, the telcos, the banks, the insurance company, they do actually comply with the Personal Data Protection Act. So they actually took steps to prepare the privacy policies and look into the processes to make sure that the PDPA, the Personal Data Protection Act, is being complied with. So commissioner also has been going around and interviewing people, meeting people on what is the PDPA. But so far, I understand is that no one has been charged under the PDPA for infringing it. So reason being, I'm not sure. But as of today, we still get our SMS, the cold calls, and all those things. But the PDPA, I mean, you can't stop cold calls, you can't stop SMSs, because it's a business. If you stop cold calling, how are the insurance companies going to, you know, insurance agent, for example, going to get business here and there? So it is something that should be regulated rather than, you know, being stopped altogether.
Is our personal data with telecommunications companies and internet service providers in Malaysia secure?
Secure? I believe they are secure. but how much they have about you is limited. I understand that they do not store what messages you send out. I believe that they only have very limited information. For example, what is your username and when you access it, when was the last time you accessed it, and using what device that you accessed it. So on what files you downloaded or what website you visited, they do not have such information. So we have not gone to the stage of snooping around on a person's personal activities yet.
Looking ahead then, considering that this case, as you say, is sort of still in its early preliminary stages, what should we be looking out for in the ensuing development of the story?
Well, if let's say this is allowed, and the court allows it to be done, then it creates a ripple effect to all the other governments in the world. So if this can be done, then our government will be thinking, or any other government will be thinking, yes, we should have such act just in case we need to do it because of, for example, terrorism. We have a lot of terrorists running around and we want to know what are they keeping about, what they're doing. So it creates an excuse. Because for them, it's like, the US did it, and the US being a democratic country, right to privacy is very strong there, but nevertheless, they still allowed it to be done. A lot of governments will be thinking of, yes, we should do something about this. Create a law to compel people to create backdoors or create an access to any devices that they want.
Thank you very much for coming in. I've been speaking with Fung Cheng Leong, lawyer and data privacy expert. We've been talking about the current debate between Apple and the US government when it comes to privacy and security. You've been listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.